is doing in our lives. Thank God for our praise and worship team. Amen. Our musicians. Amen. Our ushers and everyone in your respectful place. We thank God so much for you on this morning. Appreciate you being here with us. Amen. Amen. I believe I have a few minutes if I can keep my promise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just a little bit, guys. Up here. Just a little bit, little volume up here. Just for me. Yeah, just for me. Amen. Just a little volume. If you would, let's go to Matthew's chapter number 11, verse 28 through 30. That's our foundational scripture for the series that we're in right now. We're going to be reading it from the Message Bible. So if you have your iPad, if you have your phone, you can go to the Message Bible along with me. If not, buy the CD and you can hear the word of the Lord in your ears. But Matthew's chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, we're in a season where we're talking about the favor of God. The favor of God, the favor of God. You know, which, you know, favor, you know, has a variety of meanings. One meaning is when God used somebody else's power, somebody else's influence, and somebody else's resources to be a blessing to you. He uses somebody else's stuff to bless you. It's not that you're a person that don't want to work, person that don't want to put forth any effort to get anything done. It's just God doing something for you that you cannot do for yourself. It's like when you ask somebody to do me a favor. You're asking them to do you a favor because you can't do it.
Come on.
Yeah. And you know they have the potential of doing what you need them to do, because if they did not have the potential to do it, you wouldn't have asked them to do you a favor. And so favor allows God to do things for you that do not require your effort. And sometimes that's what gets us in trouble, because we try to treat God like we treat our lives. And we think in our lives we have to put forth effort to get certain things done. But in the kingdom of God, there is this thing that is called favor. It's called favor. It's when God's power, God's influence, and God's resources is released on your life without you doing anything. Nothing. All you do is believe. And that's hard for us to do, because we've been taught all of our lives, everything you get in life requires you hard what?
Work.
Everything. That's what we've been taught. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, and it comes to God, God want to do things for you that you can't get the glory.
Woo!
See, when you put forth all the effort, you're not going to give God the glory. I'm going to say that one more time. See, when you pulled up your own bootstrap, you're not going to say, I thank God for it. You're going to brag on what you accomplished. You're going to brag on what you have done. But when it comes to favor, you don't have no room to brag. When it comes to God doing something for you that you couldn't do on your own, you can't stand before God and say, I did this or I did that. Matter of fact, I won't even be in the sentence. See, all the praise and all the glory will go to God. Why? Because God showed you his favor. Somebody say, in this season, God is showing me his favor. Now, in Matthew's chapter number 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, are you tired? In the Message Bible. Now, if you have a phone or iPad, please follow me, because this is very important, because you need to hear it from this perspective. You need to hear it from this perspective, because in this particular verse here, Jesus is asking his disciples a question. And he's asking us this same question in this fable. See, are you tired of trying to do it by yourself? Are you tired yet? Are you fed up yet? See, it's not until you get fed up with doing it your way and your way not working, it's not until then you turn to God. See, when we praise God, we praise him for what he has done. But when you worship God, you worship him for who he is. See, worship requires you to have a deep need for God. See, that's why a lot of times we can't shift into worship, because our need is not great enough. See, you need God more than you need a car. You need God more than you need a house. You need God more than you need food. You need God more than you need money. See, it's nothing natural anymore. Now it's a spiritual desire. See, when you have a strong spiritual desire, then you'll go into the presence of God and not worry about what's going on around you. So here is Jesus. Jesus say, are you tired yet? Are you tired? Then he says, worn out. Are you worn out? Are you sick and tired of coming to church Sunday in, Sunday out, Bible study every now and then? Okay. See, we wonder why our level of understanding is so low, because we don't apply ourselves to the things that will allow our understanding to increase. Every now and then, Bible study. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, are you burnt out on this kind of stuff? Are you worn out? Then he said, are you burnt out? Have you did it so long until it don't affect you anymore? See, have you come to church in the same routine over and over and over to the point that you just come and go through the formality? Yeah. You just come and go through the motion. They say, clap your hand, you clap your hand, but you don't mean it. Come on, are you here? They say, sing, but you really don't mean it. You see, you don't mean what you're saying. So what you're saying has no meaning to you. So what you're saying don't get a response from God. Because man sees the outer appearance, but God sees our hearts. He knows our motives. He knows what you're thinking when you're clapping your hand. See, I don't know what you're thinking when you clap your hand. You can fool me. But when you're clapping your hand before God, God knows whether or not that's a clap for him or a clap just to tell the praise and worship team to sit down. Are you sick and tired of that yet? Are you burnt out on that yet? Because, see, when we come in here to worship, when we come in here to get in God's presence, we're not just coming in here to have a good time and leave and not be effective in the world that we go to after we leave here. See, when we come in here, we come to meet God. Look at somebody and say, we come to meet God. Yeah, we come to be with him. And when you come to meet God and be with him and you have a genuine heart and a genuine attitude, God will come right where you are. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. He dwells wherever praise is. Near Jesus went on to say, he said, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Jesus said, come to me. Now, you done went to everybody else. Now it's time to come to Jesus. He said, if you come to me, get away with me, he said, you'll recover your life. You've been looking for who you are, trying to be somebody else, trying to fit in with everybody, trying to get your hair cut like them, trying to get your hairdo like them, trying to get your car like them, trying to get your house like them, trying to profile and style like them instead of being yourself. Jesus said, come to me and you will recover who you are. Look what he says here now. He said, I'll show you how to take a real rest. I'll show you how to sleep and snore and then wake up and not be tired. Jesus said, I'll show you how to get some peace. A lot of you slept last night, but you still tired. Come on, I'm going to talk to somebody in here. Yeah, you close your eyes, but I can look at you and tell you tired right now. You done gave me 10 minutes and said, if he ain't done in 10 minutes, I'm gone. Now check it out. Because see, the reason why we tired, because we haven't really found a real rest. See, there's one thing to have peace with God. There's another thing to have the peace of God. See, the peace of God is totally different from the peace with God. See, when you have peace with God, that means you've made it right with God through his son, Jesus Christ. So therefore, you and God are not enemies anymore. You and God are now friends now. But in order for you to have the peace of God, that's something you're going to have to practice every day. That's something you have to tell your mind you're not going to worry today. You got to tell your situation it's not going to agitate you today. Why? Because I'm going to live in the peace of God. I'm not going to let the outside interferences interfere with what God is doing on the inside of me. Yeah. Now look what he says here. He says, walk with me and work with me. It's the same thing that your Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, walk with me and work with me. What Jesus said, I need your cooperation. I need you to give in to what I'm trying to do in your life, because I can't do it without you cooperating with me. I can't do it for you. I need your cooperation. So look what he said. He said, watch how I do it. See, and I told him in Bible study, if you want to know how Jesus did it, get your Bible in all the Gospels. There's four Gospels. You got Matthew, you got Mark, you got Luke, and you have John. And all of those Gospels, there are words written in red. If you want to see how Jesus did things, read every scripture in red. Yeah, don't go to the Old Testament because you just got saved. That's going to confuse you. And if you've been saved a long period of time, the Old Testament is still confusing you because you can't pronounce the words. You can't pronounce those names. Those Hebraic names, you can't pronounce them. You're stumbling over the name. And then you don't have an interest in the word no more. Why? Because you don't understand what you're reading. So this is what I admonish you to do. Go in the gospel, start there, and read every scripture in red. And find out how Jesus did it. He says, let me show you how I do it. Then he says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's where we are. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Another word for grace is the word we're using, favor. The unforced rhythms. Get in sync with the grace of God. Get in sync with how God operates his grace in your life. Stop being out of sync. Stop being out of rhythm. Here's God dancing to one beat, and here you are dancing to another beat. Come on, you're not going to talk to me in here. Here's God dancing to the beat of prayer. You dance to the beat, I don't want to pray. Here's God dancing to the beat of studying the word. You dance to the beat, I don't want to study right now. I'm tired. See, here's God dancing to the beat of worship. And here you are saying, I don't feel like worshiping. And what God said, what I need you to do, get in sync with me. Get in sync with how I do things. Get in sync with the rhythms of my grace. Keep up with how I'm doing it. And then he said, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. See, people will put something on you that they think fits your life. But God will put things on you that he know fit your life. Mm-hmm. You ever had somebody try to make you like them? I'm sure you done had one friend or another like that in a lifetime. And if my kids that I'm talking to in here, I'm sure you got some friends that's really trying to make you like them. They trying to make you buy the same shoes they buy the same shirt they buy the name brand stuff that they buy, and they got everybody else's signature on their body, but they don't have no money in their pocket. But you got these name brands on and broke. Look at somebody and say, not me.
Not me.
Yeah, not me. Why? Because we figure those things are impressive. But here is Jesus saying, I'm going to put stuff on you that will be genuine, authentic. Here it is. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Again, he said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. We're talking about part two of learning how to live in God's favor. Learning how to live in God's favor. Let me give you some definitions of favor, some more definitions, some deeper thoughts about favor. Favor, God's endorsement for your life. It's when God endorses you. You've been trying to get people to endorse you, but when God endorses you, nobody can stop you. The material manifestation of Father's blessings on your life. And when people can see the blessing on you. See, you think folk don't like you because of who you are. They don't like you because of what God's doing in your life. See, favor draws God, but favor opposite also will manifest your enemies. See, folk will hang around you until you start getting blessed. And you'll know who they are because they'll start talking about your blessing. They'll start talking about he think he's something. She thinks she's more than us now. See, when you start hearing people talk like that, they're jealous of the favor of God on your life. So don't get stuck up. Don't get arrogant and think it's something about you. No, it's the unseen force of God on your life that they're confused about. Because they figure they're the one deserving what you are experiencing. The strength and power of God enhancing our lives. Listen to this here. For the gifted service we provide. See, God has gifted each of us in the body of Christ with a grace. There's a favor on your life for you to provide service to other people. See, and somebody else can try to do the same thing you're doing and they'll find it hard to do. Why? Because they don't have the favor or the grace to do it. And I was saying on Tuesday, you know, folk call me. I wake up quoting scriptures now. It don't matter. I mean, you can just call me in the middle of the night. I wake up. I go to quoting whatever scripture you need me to quote. Why? Because that's my gift. That's the calling of God on my life. And I had to accept that. You see, I don't have to fumble around and find out, you know, tell you to go to this person. Go, no. Why? Because I've invested time in the scripture, and that time I invested, God has stirred up that gift on the inside of me. See, and not just quoting scripture, but also have the revelation how to apply it. Because you got a lot of people that can quote it, but they don't know how to apply it. They don't know how to take what they quote and use it in their lives. And we call them a walking Bible. No. Okay. I'm not going to say I might offend somebody. But you got folk that think they know the Bible, but they don't use the Bible. See, and if you don't use what you know, you actually a fool. A nuisance. Because you know something, but you're not using it. Now, anointed, God gave me this acronym for, it means fully anointed vessels overflowing ridiculously. Fully anointed vessels overflowing ridiculously. Now, in Job chapter number 10, verse number 12, there's some stuff we went over in Bible study. So you're getting a little Bible study along with a little Sunday morning sermon too. In Job chapter number 10, verse number 12, it says, "You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my life." Now look what Job is saying to God. He said, "You granted me not just life, but you gave me life and favor." Yeah, you're not allowing me just to live, but you allow me to live the kind of life you have appointed and ordained for my life. You've given me some favor. All right, in Psalms chapter number 89, verse 17, it said, "For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted." Now look what he said. He said, in your favor, our horn. Horn. That word horn is the word strength. Our strength is exalted. In other words, the thing that God has gifted you with, he will use that thing for you to be promoted. Wow. Look at somebody and say, in this favorable season, God is promoting me. God is exalting me. Yeah, he's put me in the place that he purposed me to be in. All right, Proverbs chapter number 8, verse 35 in the Amplified. It said, "For whoever finds me wisdom, finds life and draws forth and obtains favor from the Lord." Whoever finds me wisdom. Now, I'm not talking about wisdom in the sense of somebody, you know, who we say they are wise because, you know, they know how to say certain things and put certain things together. No, this here is biblical wisdom. This is wisdom that know how to solve problems instead of creating problems. You're a problem solver. You're not a person who create problems. See, if you're creating problems, you're not operating in wisdom. See, if you're a problem solver, though, you're operating in the wisdom of God. Why? Because wisdom is an anointing. Come on, say that with me. Say, wisdom is an anointing. Yeah, go over to Isaiah chapter 11. Wisdom is an anointing. What does an anointing do? Anointing, it destroys the yoke and removes the burden. The anointing is what causes things to be different, what causes things to change. That's why when you hear something or when you hear somebody sing, they may be talented, but they're not anointed. They can make you feel good, but they don't make you think. Yeah, it's like hearing a preacher. He can hum, he can get a good climax in, but you leave out the same way. It's what's on what the person is saying that changes our lives. And if the wrong thing is on what they're saying, instead of changing your life, they will confuse your life. All right? So in Isaiah chapter number 11, look at what Isaiah said about Jesus, because he's referring to Jesus. He's talking about the spirit of wisdom being on Jesus. Verse number 1, it said, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse." Referring to Jesus, because Jesus was the great, 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 great grandson of Jesse, who was the father of David. And you all know that. You learned that in Sunday school. Now look what he says here. He said, "And a branch shall grow out of his roots." A branch shall grow out of his roots. Now look what verse number 2 says. "The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Referring to Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 4? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. See, notice, when the Spirit of God or the anointing of God get on your life, in this case we're talking about wisdom, it's not on your life for you to just get happy. What we restricted the anointing to in church was, we restrict the anointing to make us shout. See, it's not just on you to make you shout. Yeah, shouting is good when you're expressing how you feel toward God. That's okay. But the Spirit of God comes on you for an assignment. Somebody say this with me. Say, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God comes on my life for an assignment. Whatever your gifted assignment is, that's what God's power is on your life to fulfill. You might not be a preacher. You may not sing in the choir. You may not sing in praise and worship. You may not usher. You may not work with the kids, but you might be a businessman. You might be a school teacher. You might be a principal. It doesn't matter. You may be a governor. It doesn't matter. But if God has placed that assignment on your life, he has given you an anointing to carry it out. So you don't have to feel intimidated and think you're not doing the will of God because you may not be doing something in the four walls. That anointing is on your life for an assignment. And when the anointing hits your life, it makes the assignment easier. Why? You can do it. You can do it with ease when everybody else have a problem trying to do the same thing you're doing. Now look what he says here. He says, the Spirit of wisdom. Now underline wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom. Again, it is the ability to solve problems. The ability to solve problems. The ability to make good decisions. The ability to make good decisions. The ability to discern, to distinguish, to know the difference between good and evil. To know the difference between what's God and what's not. Because, see, in the time we're living in, we're calling things God when it's not God. Because we don't have a spirit of discerning, a spirit of wisdom, to know the difference between what's God and what's not. That's what John meant when he said, try the Spirit by the Spirit so you will know whether or not it is of God. See, you have to be careful when you call something God and it's not. Because whatever you call God, you worship. You worship that thing that you call God. So you have to be careful. So wisdom enables you and me to solve problems. And he said the Spirit or the anointing of wisdom will be on Jesus. Now, because we who have accepted Jesus Christ are a part of the body of Christ, that same anointing on Jesus is on you and I. So Jesus had an anointing on him to solve problems. When Jesus went to a funeral, he solved the problem of the person being dead. You're not going to talk to me in here now. He went to the funeral. The person that was dead, he told the person, get up. So he solved that dead problem. And then he solved the mourning problem for the family. The person had the withered hand. His hand was withered. It was drawn back. Jesus solved his withered hand problem. When Lazarus was dead, Jesus saw the problem of Lazarus being dead. I want to know, what problems are you solving? Because wherever problems are being solved, you'll find the favor of God there. Because if you're not solving no problem, that means God's favor is not supporting what you're doing. His favor supports the people who are solving problems. If you are a problem creator, you don't have favor. You got something else. Yeah. So when you are solving problems, you'll find the favor of God. Jesus was a problem solver. When the people was hungry, Jesus solved their hunger problem. Came to Jesus and said, Master, what are we going to feed this multitude? Jesus said, what you have? They said, we don't have nothing but a little boy, a little lad who got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. 2 fishes. Southeast Georgia, 2 fish, but 2 fishes. Yeah. He have 2 fish. That's all he have. Jesus said, bring it to me. Jesus said, I have the wisdom to use 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What Jesus was saying, I can use, all he had really was a 2-piece fish dinner. Because the loaves of bread wasn't the loaves we think they're talking about. It wasn't what we thought. See, we think low. We think in a big low, you know, of light bread like we buy. No. He had five little old, you know, patty. You know, Simon Croquette patty. You know, that's all he had. Y'all don't know nothing about that. But that's all little pancakes. That's all he had. That wasn't no bigger than my hand. That's all he had. But he solved the hunger problem because he had wisdom. Why did Jesus have wisdom? Jesus knew who to turn to when a problem arise. See, why are we not operating in wisdom? Because we turn into the wrong people.
Come on.
We're turning to the wrong people. You got to learn how to turn to God to find out from God, what do I need to do in this situation? Let me show you. Go to James chapter number 1. Woo! I'm going to show you something today. See, I'm going to show you how God get favor operating in your life. Because, see, we're in this moment of favor, but you want to keep the favor operating. You want to activate that favor. You don't want to get, you know, Altel, you know, just was bought out by AT&T. They sent some new phones to those who were Altel customers. Sent some new phones to her, you know, and the phone looked good. But, you know, I think it took, probably about 2 or 3 weeks before they activated the phones. Phones looked real good, but the phones were no good to us because they were not what? Activated. The favor of God looks good on your life, but the favor of God is not beneficial to your life until you activate that favor. You got to activate that favor. You got to get that favor active in your life. Why? Because the things that God is wanting to do in your life is dependent on his favor. It's not dependent on your hard work. You don't work hard and it has not gotten you where God wants you to be. How many know what I'm talking about? You don't work your fingers to the bone. And you're still not where you desire to be. It's going to take some extra to get you there. And that extra is the favor of God. But favor shows up when wisdom is in operation. Favor will show up. Why? Because you are solving problems. You're solving problems. See, the reason why you're hired where you're hired, because you are solving a problem for that company. You stop solving problems, guess what? Guess what now? I ain't got to prophesy to you. I can go ahead and tell you. If you stop going to work, you stop performing your duties, you stop solving, guess what they're going to do? Come on, this ain't no prophecy. This is reality. And you can talk about the devil all you want to. The devil doing that. Devil didn't do that. Your lack of commitment to that job, your lack of commitment to that company, being insubordinate is what got you fired. It wasn't the devil. It was the enemy in you. Enemy. It was you. See, look at my seat. You got to know who to blame. No, the devil didn't fire me. Them folk don't like me. They will love you if you produce. I don't know any company, any person who owns anything that hires people that produce that don't really have a level of love for them. Why? Because what you do is bringing them increase. Come on, you're not going to talk to me in here. You think right now who you working for, if they wasn't getting increase based on what you are doing, you think you'll still be at that job? They have ways of getting rid of folk that are not producing. They come up with excuses. This position no longer exists in our company. We firing you nicely. It don't exist anymore. I'm sorry, but we have no, you know, need for this position. Why? They didn't have a need because the position wasn't being filled with a person that was producing. I seen a young man the other day and he was, you know, he a member here. I ain't going to say his name, but I went in there and he's everywhere working now. And I say, that's job security. Why? Because they cannot get rid of you by telling you they don't have anything for you to do.
Come on.
You're multitasking. You can do it all. See, once you get to a place where you're solving problems in multiple areas, you cannot get fired. Mm-mm, because they fire you from one spot, they find out, hey, you can do this here, can't you? You see. Mm-hmm. Look at James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Verse number 5. James chapter 1, verse number 5. Look what it says. He said, if any of you likes wisdom, problem solving. If any of you like the ability to solve problems, because that's where favor is going to show up at. Because the Bible talked about Jesus growing in wisdom and in stature and had favor with God and man. Jesus grew in wisdom. He developed in problem solving. He learned how to solve problems. That's why the big demand was on Jesus' life. See, when you are a problem solver, there's a big demand on your life. When your gift provides answers for people, there's a big demand. Don't get mad at the psychic. Just discover your gift. Don't get mad at them telling they need to get off TV. They on TV because you won't operate in your gift. They getting paid money, you can be getting paid. All they're doing is giving perverted advice. Pervert, they twisted the gift so they can gain from it. They're operating in the gift without the love of God supporting what they're doing. And you shouldn't get mad with them. He said, if any of you likes wisdom, are empty or insufficient of wisdom. If you don't have any wisdom, he didn't say call your boyfriend. You know, call your girlfriend. Come on, I'm talking to my teens now. Because they don't think their parents know enough. And their parents done lived 50 years, 60 years. You know, I'm going to get to that hunting. That old buck, you know, out there, you know, in the woods. And he, you know, done got them horns on him. He didn't get them horns because he couldn't escape. He didn't get them horns because he didn't have a good sense of smell. He didn't get them horns, you know, because he didn't know when the hunters was coming. He didn't hear their trucks come. He got them horns because he learned how to survive. And the bigger the horns is telling you, I got this right because I survived a lot of stuff. I went through the storm. I went through the rain. I done came through Bob, Billy, and John. So they can tell them little old does and them little old, you know, Bambis how to get around a shotgun. Yeah. You see, you don't have to call your friend. Call Buck Daddy. You see, yeah. So our children, you're no different. When you need wisdom, go to somebody that done been through what you going through. Don't go to somebody that's in the same boat. Come on, y'all ain't gonna talk to me in here. They in the same. They ain't got no house. You ain't got no house. Mom and daddy paying for everything for them. Mom and daddy paying for everything for you. And you want to ask them what you think. What? And then they want to be, you know, ignorant. Ignorant, arrogant. And say, if I was you, this was what I'd do. What? Come on, y'all be seated for a moment. So if any man likes wisdom, you need to know who to go to. See, if I want to know about cars, I'm not going to a carpenter. Because a carpenter don't know anything about cars. I'm going to a mechanic. And guess what? I'm going to the mechanic because I don't have the wisdom to fix my car. But what he says here now, because wherever wisdom is, favor will also be there. It will be right there because you're solving problems. We go to the hospital for them to solve physical problems. You go to a counselor for him to solve mental and emotional problems. See, you come to church so that God can solve spiritual problems. You don't need to be at the country club on Sunday because you got some spiritual problems you can't solve. You need to come where those spiritual problems can be solved by a sovereign God that knows everything about your situation. Everything about it. Look what he says here. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you got a problem that's bigger than you, go to God about the problem. And God will make sure you get the provided answer that you need to solve the problem or to maneuver in it. He will give you the power to maneuver. We need the power to maneuver in certain things that we're facing right now. God, if you don't get me out of it, teach me how to go through it. Just teach. Don't leave me lost in this situation, but teach me how to get through what I'm going through. Because if it's intended for you to keep me here, I need to learn how to maneuver. Look at somebody and say, I need to learn how to maneuver. I got to learn how to maneuver. I got to learn how to maneuver, how to make this decision while I'm facing this, how to make that decision while I'm facing this here. God, you may not deliver me at this moment, but give me so much wisdom in this thing that I'm facing, I hate that I'm here. Oh, God, y'all not going to talk to me in here. Give me so much wisdom, God, in this thing will hate that I'm here. I'm not hating the thing. The thing is hating me because I'm giving it a fit because I know what to do every single day that it show up. I know what to do every day, Jonathan, that it show up. I know what to do. Why? Because the wisdom of God is informing me ahead of time before the things show up the next day. He giving me insight. See, insight is different from eyesight. See, eyesight focus on what is being seen, but insight focus on what has already happened. Oh, God, help me in here. See, when you got insight, man, you can move. When you got insight, man, you can flow. Why? Because you know the answer before the problem show up. You're not looking outward to get the answer. You're looking inward to get your answer. Woo! God, help us in here. Look what he says here now. He said, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally without restraints. Let him ask. Why? God is going to give it to you liberally, abundantly. He's going to give you so much wisdom you can pass it on to the next generation. Shaya. Yeah. See, I told somebody the other day, I say, we're raising wise kids. Yeah, we're raising children of wisdom. Yes, we are. Why? Because God has given us some wisdom. Yeah, so he'll give you so much wisdom that the next generation don't have to be ignorant. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for the lack. Come on, talk to me here. The lack of knowledge. In the Greek, it's the word gnosis. It means to know something intimately. To know something by involvement. Yeah. To know. Why? Because you have experienced it. He said, my people perish because the lack of knowledge. There's an insufficiency of knowledge. That's why my people are destroyed. They're not destroyed because the devil. They're destroyed because they're self-destructing. Because they're not using the information and the revelation that I am giving to them. See, it's true. Knowledge is power. But you better have the right kind of knowledge. You best not totally depend on university knowledge alone. You know how many folk done graduated from college and broke? Okay, let me put it out here. You know how many folk graduated from college is working for somebody who dropped out of college? Come on. Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me in here. Why? I want you to get this nugget. Get this nugget here now. Don't ever forget this. The person who know how will always work for the one who know why. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. And I just gave you something. Y'all missed. Now, see, y'all should have been throwing some. Y'all should have been making it rain up in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But the person who know how will always work for the one who knows why. The reason you own your job, because somebody knew why to open that company. You just got to get in your place of why. Get in your place of why. Because God has gifted every person with a place of why. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, I believe it's verse number 23, he said the profit of the earth is for everyone. Come on. That's what God told Solomon. He said the prophet of the earth is for everybody. It's unfair to live in a country when 6% of its population controls the wealth. Another 94% of the people have to depend on the 6%. That's not God. See, you can't settle that in your mind and say, I'm supposed to be here always. No, God got better things for you. But you got to get in the wisdom of God to become a problem solver so his favor can hit your life and everything that God has for you start happening for you. Look at somebody and say, I'm in that favor season. Tell them, say, I'm discovering why. So he said, if you lack wisdom, go to God, who will give to you liberally, abundantly. Listen to this, without restrictions. You know, if you go to somebody, you know, I love tater pie. So you come to me asking me for a piece of my pie. I ain't going to give you the whole pie. I'm going to give you a piece. And it's probably going to be a small piece. But that's not how God is. God gives us the whole pie. The Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you, listen to this, the desires of your heart. There are some things in you right now that you have been wanting, you have been desiring since you were a child. And God says you can get it if you delight yourself in me. You got to get in God and say, God, I'm fulfilled in you. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Nothing. I'm just about done. But look what he says here. He says, who gives to all? That's inclusive. That's everybody. There's no big U's. There's no small me's and small us's. In the kingdom of God, there is no upper class, middle class, lower class in the kingdom of God. That's only in our democratic system. That's in our system. That's what our president fought so hard for the middle class, because he said, listen, those folk who making all that money, man, they getting off. Yeah. See, the more you know, the more required of you. See, the more you know, the more you should be responsible. Yeah, people, I'm not saying, you know, people make, you know, a lot of money that those who are not making so much supposed to. No, I'm not saying that. But it ought to be equal across the board. The privilege ought to be equal. You shouldn't cater to somebody because they got more money than somebody else. And that's what your president, that's what he's fighting for. The middle class, the working class. Somebody say the working class. Because that 6%, they ain't got to go in. But that middle class, you know, come whatever time, you got to get up and go get the job done. See, but what you got to do now is you got to go get that job done, seeking God for the wisdom to solve some problems. That he can exalt your horn. He can exalt your strength. He can exalt your gift. Your gifts start making room for you, bringing you before the supervisor, bringing you before the CEO, bringing you before the president. They know you. Why? Because you're exercising your gift. Look at somebody and say, they know me because I'm exercising my gift. Yeah, see, your gift, your grace, what God has placed on you will bring you before great folk. But you got to use wisdom to get there. Look at somebody and say, you have to use wisdom to get there. Come on, say it again. You have to use wisdom to get there. Tell them, say, and wisdom is the ability to solve problems. Come on, give God the best praise you can give. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody give God the best praise you can give him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name.